Silent Disco.
That's the weirdest thing to watch from the outside. Like, I've seen footage of it, and you're like, inside, they're jamming. Like,
there's no way putting headphones on. Dancing like Charlie Brown.
Somehow.
Just dancing like a peanut. This is hardcore rap.
Oh. No, that was the John Cena intro. That was the Charlie Brown music.
Oh, my gosh.
Basically the same. There we go. Yeah, I was like, doo, 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 doo. You listen what you want to. I got my dance. All right, here we go. Welcome to the Goose Grace, because all the good names are taken. My name's Dan Amos. This is Drew Meadows. Get over it.
I don't like you saying my last name.
That was aggressive. Oh, they're going to hunt you down now. Witness protection over. If everyone listening hunted you down, there would be like three people at your door. One of them would be you, possibly. It'd be you, me, and like just one random person. Grandma. We have no connection.
My grandma.
Somebody in Spain. Would you?
Eastern Europe.
I was about to say, we have some Russian listeners out there. We have some in India now. We're growing a little bit.
Europe.
I apologize to whoever is not from the South and listens to it. It has to be a confusing experience. But we're glad you're listening. If you remember, 7 days ago, some people say, or a week, we were talking about the witnesses of Jesus after his resurrection. We're going to continue that today and wrap it up. But really, the reason we want to talk about this is that, first of all, just talking about the historical accuracy of Scripture, that it can be believed, that it is God's word, but it is also a true historical account. And also to put to rest some of these ideas that these alternate explanations of what happened to Christ after he was put in the tomb that are completely ridiculous if you take any time whatsoever to look into them. We'll discuss those a little bit, but we're going to start in, where are you at, Drew? Where are you at, sir?
Luke 24:13.
Okay, Do you read?
Nope.
I was so confident for a minute. That's why I went up at the end. You read?
Read?
All right, so 13 through what?
24.
That's what I thought. All right, Luke 24:13-24. That really messes with me. Okay. That very day, two of them were going to the village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since those things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." I'm going a little bit further. And he said to them, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself."
All right. Oh, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for Easter and this season that we're in, Lord. Be with us as we go out, Lord. Let us live a life of pleasing and according to your to what you call us to, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen.
All right. Off to the races.
Races.
So this is what I love about this piece of scripture that we just read. A lot of times we can be like, man, why didn't they get through their head that he was resurrected? Why are they doubting? Why? And we kind of say, well, you know, how in the world could they not know? First of all, we got to understand a couple things. We look at this scripture in the context of all of scripture, and we understand this. We've got the convenience and the benefit of having these collected writings that we know as the Bible, God's Word. And so we say, of course, they should know. But at the same time, like, we try to find every explanation possible to explain away the deity of Christ so often. And that's what we see here. We see that there's a recognition, but it's a misidentification is what it really is. When they talk about, you know, how do you not know what was going on concerning Jesus of Nazareth? And look at what they call him, a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people. And they correctly say, you know, our chief priests killed him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. And again, to me, this means that they're pointing again to this political idea of them being rescued, of a political leader who is going to rescue them. But they really do misidentify who Christ was here.
Yeah, no, I mean, I completely agree. And then, you know, the key part that I kind of hit on before we go really any farther is in the first few verses, where there's two guys just talking, you know, about what had happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Jesus questions them, they say, are you like the only person to have visited Jerusalem and not know?
Yeah.
Like this points to the fact this was a big deal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
This wasn't like just someone random named Jesus died on the cross.
Yeah.
Didn't pay attention. No, this was the talk of the area, not just the town, the area at this point. And so to say, you know, well, I had people tell me, like, Jesus never existed. Like, obviously he did.
Yeah.
No.
Somebody would have called it out by now. You know, like there would be writings about it. Yeah.
Like, and it obviously points to there was something special about this guy named Jesus, you know?
Yeah.
And here, I mean, they even go in farther and then say, moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said he was alive.
Yep.
You know, it's funny, they believe these women too.
Yeah.
They're not over here saying,
I mean, there's a reason they came to see for themselves. Yeah.
Oh, no one, you know, someone stole the body of these women live from them or any of that. They're like, no, like, hey, these women said they saw an angel and he said he's alive.
And I have to say, like, it sounds weird, but I'm just going to be completely transparent here. I would struggle if they came to me, if I was in this situation, they came to me and said that, like, I mean, we give them a lot of grief, but like, seriously, would you believe if somebody was like, oh, you remember the guy you saw with your own two eyes get killed? He's alive now. Like, that's not something you experience every day.
It was a big event as well.
I mean,
it wasn't like, you know, these were public executions. Mm-hmm. People went to see them. It wasn't like they were like, okay, let's kill this guy in the middle of the night so no one knows.
Yep.
No, it was a spectacle.
Yeah.
You know, and especially with Jesus's, with all they did, they humiliated him.
And he was clearly dead by the end of it.
Like, it was a spectacle. I mean, they said he got beat within beyond recognition.
Yeah.
They placed a crown of thorns on his head. There was a sign that said, King of the Jews. Like, it's obvious who the one they were making fun of.
Yeah.
It's obvious who Jesus was. It wasn't like, oh, these three guys all look similar.
Yeah.
All looking the same, all dying the same. No, it was one on one side, one on the other, and then you have this main character here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing. They went through that extra trouble to humiliate him, to torture him, to cause pain, because to them, and rightfully so, he was so dangerous that it wasn't enough to kill him. They had to snuff out
Make a point.
Yeah, they had to snuff out his, for lack of a better term, his legacy or his name
and his movement. And
yeah,
they did, because I mean, you see where the disciples go?
Right, they scatter. After. Yeah,
they went into the upper room.
Oh yeah, they're hiding at that point. Yeah,
and so it, like, there was no way you go to Jerusalem and you watch this and you still know who Jesus is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even if in the rare chance you had not seen a miracle this dude had done, not heard of a miracle this dude had done, and your first time ever hearing the name Jesus is when he's getting crucified, you know who Jesus is.
Yep.
And so you know, like you just said, he's dead.
Yep.
I mean, the dude doesn't look like a person anymore.
Yeah.
And then at the end of it, he gets stabbed in his side to make sure he's
dead. That's going
to
do it. Yeah.
And so.
Yeah, they're not like, you got to think about this from a political standpoint. So they went through making sure there was a large stone that would not be easily moved
by a normal human.
Group
of humans.
In front of the tomb, and then they place guards. I'm sure, again, these were not like, oh, it's my first day on the job, I'll go stand over here. Like, these were trained. Yeah. And so if they're doing all of that, you better believe that they went through the trouble to make sure he was dead.
And the crazy part is, this is something we look over so often. It doesn't say when they got to the tomb, there was a dead Roman soldier.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Again, like you said, there's a Caesar vet. They're not going to leave their post unless something they have never seen before happens.
My thought is this cat was like, I don't think it was a thing of like, this is so dumb. I don't think Jesus was like slowly opening the, like, I mean, it was a pretty momentous event here. And so I think that guard knew what it meant for him. He was like, I had one job. I think that dude went into hiding at some point. Like,
that's the thing. For a seasoned veteran who's seen war, who's seen the worst of the worst, to be so shook to leave his post.
Yeah.
They told the man, hey, you're going to be there and you're going to fight
to
death. And so to not see.
Because they're expecting people to come steal the body to claim. Yeah.
A soldier's body.
Yeah.
I have no evidence there was a fight and him not there, which means he left his post.
Yeah.
Something he has never
seen. Yeah, there's a reason. Yeah.
And it wasn't because a group of 12 random fishermen showed up and was like, hey.
So I love the way this passage ends. Well, the part that we read at least ends. That is, he begins to interpret to them in all scripture the things concerning himself. Obviously, first of all, who better to interpret the things concerning himself than the man himself? But they still don't recognize him. Because then when you jump down, so they get closer to the village. He was going further, but they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. While he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were open, and they recognized him. They've been traveling with this guy. And again, you have to assume that this was Jesus's, you know, his actions led to them not, like, they weren't just stupid. Like, let's be honest. But, like, there's a sense of comedy kind of in. He's like, all right,
I'll be with you.
I'm going to spend some time here talking about everything that points to who Jesus is. And I know I have very intimate information about all of this. And they're like, man, this guy knows a lot about Jesus. Yeah. Huh.
He does one action, he breaks bread. Oh,
it's you. I knew you looked familiar.
Superman with the glasses.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Clark Kent, man. What'd you get here, bro? You're Superman. Takes the glasses. Oh, it's Clark Kent.
He like pulls his hair back there. Wait a minute.
Made us. And you know, I want to go back up real quick.
Yeah.
Because you mentioned it in passing, but I feel like we need to focus on it. They knew who crucified Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, the priest wanted it to look like the Romans were crucified. Mm-hmm. But he goes, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death.
Oh, they knew what was up. Yeah.
Exactly who it was.
Yeah.
Killed him.
And again, I struggle to even begin to like understand what it must have felt like those days before they witnessed his resurrection or, you know, after he had resurrected, rather. Just the complete feeling of defeat. Because, yes, again, it wasn't, they should have known that he was not going to stay in that tomb. But how many of us could say, like, we would be in the same, I know what I saw, he's dead.
I tell people this all the time, like we so often judge disciples.
Yeah.
And we're like,
how did they not get it? Yeah.
But realize, like, no one has ever defeated death.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Yes, they saw Lazarus, but it was with Jesus' help.
Yeah.
Jesus, they think Jesus is out of the equation.
Yeah.
So they're like, there's no way he's coming back. Like,
and that's the thing, like, again, being completely honest, like, who wouldn't struggle with it? Even today, even knowing, you know, God's word and understanding that God has conquered death, that God is more powerful than death itself. Like, if somebody was like, hey, there are these instances where people die for a, you know, usually a short amount of time, and then they come back and we're like, oh, but they weren't really dead. Like, we still try to write off every chance we get God's power and his miracle.
And I'm going to say this, and this is really going to, like, nail down this whole passage mm-hmm. right here. So they know that the chief priest killed Jesus.
Yep.
Because of who he was and starting what he was starting.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically they did that, like you said, to put fear in everyone.
Yeah, they need to send a message. Yep.
But yet, why would these two guys on a road who met Jesus make up this lie when they knew if they said this, they were going to get in trouble? Because you get on verse 35, it says, and they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread.
Mm-hmm.
Right there, that points to they're telling people. They're not going to make this up because they understand if they tell the wrong
thing,
they're in trouble.
They're done,
Why make up a lie that's going to get you dead?
Yeah, if the environment is such that you have to go into hiding, you're not going to just walk about freely blabbing about it. Like,
yeah, because so many people are like, how do you 100% know? Well, you look at the lives of Paul and the rest of the disciples.
Yeah.
They went to their death proclaiming Jesus' name, which means it was either true or someone had...
Or they were crazy.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that was...
conceived.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's the thing, is like over 500
people. Yeah.
And these guys literally went to their death. Peter even took it a step farther, and when he was dying, he said, I'm not worthy to die in the same manner as my Savior. It put me upside down.
Like, it always dumbfounds me. I'm like, how much further did they have to go for somebody to believe that they were serious about this?
If you want to know the truth, put somebody's life at risk. The truth will come out.
If they're like, no, I'm just kidding, I'm out.
No one's willing to die for a lie.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, no one is willing to die for a lie. And so the moment, if all this was a lie, all this was just not real, the moment that their life came into question,
they'd have peaced out.
They would have dipped. And we see Paul's life came into question multiple times. Mm-hmm. He got stoned. He got exiled. I mean, he was shipwrecked. All this stuff happened to him.
If that doesn't do it.
He still says at the end of the day, right before he dies, I fought the good fight.
Yep.
To live is Christ, but to die is gain. He's over here saying, look, guess what? If you kill me, that's amazing. Please. Like, if I'm called to live, Christ got me. But if I'm called to gain, guess what? It's great.
He still got me.
And so to say there's no way this Jesus guy wasn't real. No, these guys died for it.
And that's what I love is scripture. And again, being God's word, it gives us time after time of examples that verify its own validity. And I want to...
Okay, can I say something
real quick? Yeah,
edge my point. Like, okay, I'm a diehard sports fan. Dan knows this.
Yep.
And I like the Yankees.
Yep.
Talking about the Yankees because it's baseball season.
I like their uniforms, I'm a fan too.
Diehard Yankees fans, right? I'm a diehard Yankees
fan.
Someone pulls a gun and says, hey, tell me the Red Sox rule and the Yankees suck. I'm saying the Red Sox rule.
What language would you like me to use?
I
prepared a sonnet.
Yeah, but over here, these guys.
Yeah.
I mean, like, all they had to do was say, hey, everything I said was a lie. I'm sorry.
Well, that's the thing. Time and time again, you can fully accept the fact that they were given opportunities that say, look, nothing's going to happen to you if you'll just deny. Like, that's because again, they weren't after any one person. They were after the movement.
Why? And another thing that points directly to Jesus being real, Jesus rising again, is why if he had never came back and they never saw him with their own eyes, if they had never touched the holes
where
the
nails
were, why would they have left the upper room?
Yep.
Because they were in there.
Yeah.
They were in that upper room scared to death.
Yeah.
They were coming for them. They were scared to die.
Yeah.
3 days later, all of a sudden, they're going and telling everybody. And they're not afraid to die.
What changed? Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You can't just say, you know, after 3 years of being scared, Peter was like, all right, guys, we got to man up.
All right, here we go.
No. They had to have seen something miraculous.
Yep.
Yep. You might be like, oh, well, it could have been an illusion. I watched a video and they said, and this was a doctor, like a person who studied this the whole life, the chances of everyone, all 12 people in that room having the same hallucination, seeing the same thing, hearing the same thing, and all coming to the complete agreement, 100% matching up, is like 1 in 2 bajillion. Like, it's, yeah, it's insane.
This was not caused by them eating like out of date SpaghettiOs.
Yeah, like, yeah, no. And so like, all like all these reasons, you, someone might say, well, this is why it wasn't real. No.
Yeah.
The Bible has these facts that you just, people choose to skip over because they points to what they think is right is wrong.
Well, and that's what gets me. This is one of those things I come across pretty often is they say, well, it's not logical to believe about how these things. To me, once you start actually reading scripture, you have to completely ignore logic to not believe it. I mean, the only answer you get is logically it happened the way the Bible says it happened. And I'm with you. There's so many things that point to it. The fact that they were willing to die following Jesus. The fact that, I'm hiding in the room inside the upper room if I have a chance on that scare. What changed? And the fact that we have numbers here, and we're going to go on to I'm going to start at verse 36 and read. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled and why do doubts arise in your hearts?" This, I find comfort in this because when the miraculous happens today, I'm one of those people that for a split second, did that really happen? Maybe they just think that happened. Maybe XYZ happened. We see that when they're looking straight at him, he says, "Why do you have doubt in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieve for joy. What?
Sorry. Them, "Have you anything here to eat?"
I promise I can read.
"A fish," and he took it and ate it.
So no, the way it was written, the "for joy," I was like, "For wait."
Now, can I hit you with a funny fact? Drew's mind.
All right.
Like my dad's mind and create.
Does this have to do with the fish?
It has to do with Thomas.
Okay. All right.
We know Thomas was, you know, doubting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who initially stuck his hand.
Yeah.
Didn't believe. I see myself as Peter. I'm not going to lie. I'm very hard-headed.
Yeah.
And so I see myself as Peter, you know. I can see Jesus turn around looking at me and be like, "Hey, get behind me, Satan."
Yeah.
Because I'm hard-headed. I'm just being real with you. And so me, as a Peter, sitting there, not saying Jesus would build his church on me.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the hard-headed part.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I also see myself as John. If I wrote a book I would definitely write that I want to race to. So I see myself as both guys. But I would be the guy in the back when after Thomas put his Thomas, obviously it's him. Like, what? Why would you need to stick? Like just make fun of ribbon for it. Like, Thomas, serious. Everybody's rejoicing. I'm over here like making fun of Thomas because he stuck his finger in the holes.
I love it though because it's such like when you look at that, especially if you're literate, unlike myself. No, it really is. Again, we talk about this all the time. It's one of those situations where this is such a human reaction to a very, you know.
They've known for 3 years who said, "I'm coming back."
Oh, wait a minute.
Whoa, like, he's actually there.
but this idea that they're completely confounded and then they actually have to see the scars. And then I just, this is one of those things, if this was just a book made for man-made religion to kind of that so many people talk about, well, you're a sheep to believe. If this was for crowd control, essentially, this is, and they gave him a piece of boiled fish and he ate it and he ate before them. So again, pointing to the fact they're like, should we give him the ghost test?
Yeah.
Yeah, get the broiled fish.
Like, well, it's like, okay, we got 2 tests here to figure out if you're real.
Yeah.
We got to touch you.
Yeah, and then eat this fish.
We got to watch you eat.
Like, it's like an early edition of like Ghost Hunters. Like, what is going on?
And then also, to go back to the point of, well, like you said, you're a shit, you follow.
Yeah, yeah.
If this was just made up, if this was just a bunch of guys getting together saying, we got to make up this lie and make it sound really good. Why would they make themselves look bad
in this
situation? Like, you know, if I'm writing a book and I'm the main character writing about, you know, I've been like, and when Jesus came back, I was like, I knew it. not frightened to death. Like
we were up there singing hymns of praise, and he came about and we said, hey, hold on, we'll get to you, man. We're just worshiping you here.
But rather, we have two flawed tests to figure out if he's a spirit or a human. One to touch him.
Can I stick my finger through your hand? Like, I mean, like,
just touching his cheek really hard.
Just like poking and prodding him.
Jesus is like, hey, touch my hand. Just like,
I just see some good old boy be like,
holes. I would touch his hand.
Like, see, he ain't no spook. We got him,
man. Look, I did something as he's just jabbing his jaw.
Somebody stick their finger in his ear. Like, it's just.
Well, Jesus might need to take a bath.
Yeah. That's... Oh, man.
And then, yeah, someone's like, hey, get the fish.
Yeah. All right, he passed the first test.
Get the fish.
Spirits are well known for being vegetarians. Get the fish.
They're well known to know if it goes in their mouth, it's just going.
Yeah, it just falls out of them. But it's one of those things, and it's not by mistake. You have to understand, again, this being God breathed, like,
I do.
We need this information to understand. Our own, like when we react from a place of our own lack of faith, I don't want to say we should be comforted because we should not want to have that lack of faith. But at the same time, we're in good company, you know.
I do wonder if they didn't say a word while he was eating the fish. He
just was dead silence. I'd come back like, it's a little dry.
Want some water?
Yeah.
You're smacking harder, man. Want some water?
Oh, man. So all this is to say, we got a couple minutes.
At this point, 14 people have seen Jesus alive.
Yeah, and we're not even close to done with it. Yeah.
And then the disciples, well, I don't know if Bartholomew is with them yet. No, he isn't, because they name him in Acts. And so you can say 15. No, 13 people have seen him. No, 15. My number sucks. So 15 people have seen him alive. And for I've always been taught this, even in history class, for a historical fact to happen, for something to be considered a historical fact, two or more.
Yep.
So right here, if Jesus would have ascended right after this, it's enough.
We've cleared the requirements,
As we go on, see there's more people. But to say, because I saw this clip of these people, they're doing an interview, they're actors, and they said, the question was, what historical figure would you want to meet? Jesus. And everyone started laughing. They're like, no, we're being serious. Not.
Yeah.
And the dude was like, no, like, historically, there was a man named Jesus.
Like,
and they're like, no, there wasn't. Like, no, there is. You can go look at Roman.
I was about to say, there's historical documents from people who were not believers whatsoever. And it still, you know, points to the fact that Jesus historically lived and existed. Absolutely.
And then you go off this, and we see that 15 people have already seen Jesus alive,
like right off the bat. Like, it's
like you have at least 12 of them willing to die for what they see.
Yep.
And you have this Roman soldier that's supposed to guard the tomb with and be prepared to give his life up, is so spooked that he leaves.
Yep.
He's willing, like, I think in Matthew, like, he's willing to fall, and he's about to fall on a sword.
Yeah.
And Jesus is like, oh, don't do that. Nope. Not on my watch. Enough death today.
Easy.
But, and so it's just like, it takes more faith to not believe
than
to believe.
You're denying historical facts left and right. Yeah. The thing I want to hit on real quick, I don't know if we'll return to this next week or whether we're going to jump somewhere else, but real quick, I want to talk about a couple of the kind of theories that try to discredit Jesus' resurrection. And I don't want to say I love them, but I find them very interesting because of how much logic they completely disregard. So one is, of course, that he the swooning thing. He was not well off, but he barely pulled through, and then he got to a doctor. Okay, well, we've already talked about the fact that everybody in the area was aware and probably firsthand witnessed the crucifixion. So they know what this guy looks like.
And if there was any chance of him being alive, they would have broke his legs.
Yep.
Because that, I mean,
you might say, they have that discussion,
You might say that's gruesome. It's a fact.
Yeah.
Because they have the conversation and they say, no, he's already dead. Just stab him.
They speared him, yep.
And that's what they would do is if you were taking too long to die, they would break your legs because of the crucifixion.
They're like, no, this guy's
gone.
What
you would do is you would take your feet are nailed and you push them on your feet to breathe and you fall back. And so when they
you would suffocate legs, if you break,
you would suffocate.
And so
these are Roman soldiers who do this for a
living. Yeah, they like this is their first time.
Dead looks like. It's not like they're like, I can't see out there. No, they know he's dead.
That impression was beautiful. But yeah, so
old man.
So let's look at how much stuff has to go wrong for that to happen. First of all, they have to be wrong.
They had to fail.
They have to really not be good at their job.
Basically, they're professionals, multiple professionals, not just
multiple professionals. Drop the ball.
Fail at their
job. Yeah.
And with this high profile of a case,
that wasn't going to happen.
Yes.
Then they get him into the tomb, and somehow he rolls this massive stone away and like tiptoes out or something. Then they find he gets to a town and finds a doctor with nobody recognizing him.
Well, you also mentioned he gets past a Roman guard.
Yeah, yeah. Like his stealth skills are amazing when he's on death's doorstep here.
He
you know,
move a rock without a Roman guard.
Yeah, with that trap door.
A rock. I wonder where that.
Look, a bird.
That way. Yeah. Any other direction? I swear he's coming from this direction.
So then he gets there, and the doctor like patches him up.
To the point. He looks like a human.
Again,
they say he's unrecognizable. Yeah. He's beaten so bad.
But a doctor, if I've been to a doctor at least once in my life.
We hope.
Doctors get pretty close to you.
Yeah.
You know, they're in your space. He would know, like, he's not like, man, hey, this guy had some tumble down the steps. Like, no, he would.
What happened? Ran into a briar bush.
So the other one, and we'll hit this one quick, and then we'll end this thing. The other idea is... This is dumb beyond dumb. The other idea is that who they saw was not Jesus, but a local homeless guy that they like were like, this guy looks enough like Jesus. Let's use him as the Jesus stunt double and say, oh, he came back. Look. How dumb do you think people were?
How dumb do you think 500 people are?
Like this.
Because, I mean, like biblical records say this, over 500 people, around 500 people saw Jesus alive.
And like, how did they fake the scar? Like,
I need you to man up. Bite on this piece of wood.
Put a hole in your hand. Yeah, like, good news is you get free fish. All right, I was just saying.
and then, why would they just put him in the middle of a road and say, look, walk up to those guys and know what happened.
And know everything, every piece of scripture that references Jesus.
They invite you to dinner and I need you to break bread in the way Jesus broke bread. We're not going to tell you how to do it, but you got to break it like he broke it.
And this is what I love. So if this was all fake, the way it would have been described is, and then a disciple saw him off in the distance. Yep. And that would be the only thing. No, he's in the house with them. He is in the room with them, eating with them. This is not I saw him out of the corner of my eye for just a moment. You know, no, like this is an extended period of time they're all up in his face.
And
like
they make themselves look bad.
Yeah, yeah. Like they wouldn't do that.
They would make themselves look good. Mary would have been like, as soon as she saw Jesus, and said she thought he was a gardener.
He came upon us during the third verse of Good Father.
We immediately thought it was Jesus. Yeah. We had no doubt. We definitely were not frightened.
I mean, how much logic are you willing to step over to deny the power of God?
You
I
have
mean,
the other one where it's the, you have two more, and these two are quick.
Yeah.
One of the disciples stole the body.
Mm-hmm.
Again, how are you going to get past a Roman soldier? He's a professional.
Yeah.
We either know either Peter was a professional swordsman because he chopped
on
purpose or on accident. He's not good.
Yeah.
On purpose, he's really good. And then on top of that, you have the one where, all the disciples hallucinated the same thing, but the chances of them having
so ridiculous
is just so far fetched. Again, it takes more faith to believe in these.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
for that number of people, again, if you want a disagreement, put two people in a room.
And then,
you're not going to get the same story between two people.
And then on top of that,
on 84 of them, 84 mm-hmm. of the things we just talked about. How do you explain Paul? This dude was killing Christians.
He had no reason to. And I mean, he was doing great, too.
He sees this light. People are around him. They're not seeing the light. He goes blind. Yeah. When he comes back, like, from seeing, he's like, oh, by the way, I love Jesus. That dude is awesome.
Big fan. Yeah. Big fan.
How do you explain the sudden 180?
To the point where, like you pointed out earlier, he's ready to die for him.
Yes.
And it, like, I mean, it's just so, repeatedly. Like,
he's okay getting run off from churches.
Yep.
And he keeps coming back.
Yeah. I mean, you can't explain that away. Like, you just can't.
But so often what they do is they miss these points.
Yep.
When you're trying to prove it wrong, they miss all these points.
They pick and choose what they refer to. Absolutely. All right, man. That's a big thought. Big thought.
It takes more faith to not believe in Jesus than to believe.
I will come across this table at you if you steal another one of my thoughts. You guys don't see. I just wrote it down, and he was looking at my page. No,
Mom.
Oh, man. So
it can be okay if it's the same thing.
Mine's going to be short, man. He is alive.
He is. I mean, why are we celebrating Easter if this all was a ruse?
Yep. A thought came to me during the service. I mean, it'll be 3 or 4 days. I can't do the math with days, but during the Easter service this past Thank week. You. And it's the fact that service we forget sometimes. That service is not a memorial service. It's a celebration of the fact that he's alive.
Yep.
We kind of tend to forget that sometimes.
And you know, the unchristians are going to say, well, it's actually a time we celebrate the Easter Bunny and spring.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
No, look at the origin. Look at the origins of it. We've made it in America something it's not. We've made it worldly in America. But you look at the origins, it's celebrating
There's a very popular idea out there that this was actually a pagan holiday that then the Christians kind of took over. If you look back at the history, that's not the case. Yeah. Not the case at all.
Well, let's pray.
Mm-hmm.
Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for everything you've done for us, Lord, whether it's death, the resurrection, living perfectly, being that perfect sacrifice that we required to pay the debt we had, Lord, to you. Be with us as we go out. Let us live a life pleasing to you. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
You know what?
What, Drew?
A great day to have a great day. So, have a great day.
That's so sing-songy.